Last Wednesday night, I preached a message, No More Condemnation, I believe was the title of it. No Condemnation, No More Condemnation. And that was one of those kind of messages that I realized later, I might as well just start it out by saying, Thus saith the Lord, and just prophesy it, because that's basically what it boiled down to. And it involved some of the attack that I experienced, and I had been experiencing it. Stopped since then, but it's like the enemy got this magnifying glass out. You ever seen that magnifying glass? He can make everything look so much worse. He can shine that inside of you and have you convinced that you are some rotten kind of ugly person. What are you doing? None of that stuff you've been doing, praying in tongues, that stuff hasn't been working. Look at you. You're a mess. What he wants you to do is listen to that trash and get convinced that what he's saying is the truth. Well, along with that magnifying glass, when he gets that out and he starts shining it, there's another thing that starts getting exposed. And it's this word that has been turning over on the inside of me for the last couple of days. And I keep thinking, I'm going to preach on something else. And this word keeps turning over. And I keep thinking, no, you're not. You're going to preach this word right here. And it's motive. You see, when he gets that glass out for you to look through, magnifying glass, and he starts exposing things, one of the things that he starts exposing is your motives. Your motives. And this is where I could probably say, Thus saith the Lord. The motives that brought you here, those motives, and I'll tell you for myself. When I first got in touch with this type of message years ago, I heard of Pastor Dave teaching tape. It's 1990. And the guy that gave me that tape, he was so excited. He was excited because the guy on this tape, this Dave Roberson character, he was in India and he prayed over 500,000 people in one service. And he saw thousands of people's teeth filled with gold. Well, that was all I wanted to hear right there. Give me that tape. I'm going to have whatever that man has. So the motivation in my heart, okay, I got to do this. He said to make sure that everybody's on the same page. All right. I'm going to give you a definition. Motivate. Motivate is a verb. And it means to provide with a motive, to incite, to impel. Motive is a noun, something that causes a person to act in a certain way, to do a certain thing. The goal or object of a person's actions. For example, her motive was revenge. So my motivation, what motivated me initially, was a desire to see miracles. That was the motivating force that drew me to this message. If you do this, this plus this equals miracles. This plus this equals the power of God. Well, for someone like myself, that was enough. I'll do that. What do I have to do? Pray in tongues? That's easy. I'll do that. Then they said something about fasting. I'll do that too. Because I want to see the power of God. That's what's going to motivate me. If that is the only motivation that you have for doing this message, it will not take you through to the end. It's not enough. I know it sounds like it should be, doesn't it? You know, to see miracles. Do this and you can see miracles. It sounds like that should be enough. But here's what happens. And I think that this is part of what the attack is right now. He brings that magnifying glass and he starts exposing your motives. And let's say, for example, you're hungry for miracles. So he brings in that magnifying glass and you start seeing some of that ugly part of you. And you start realizing the reason why you want to see miracles. Well, is it so that you can get self-exalted? See, that's not a good reason. Self-exaltation isn't a good reason for doing this message. It's a terrible reason. And it will be one of the things that will take you out eventually. Unless you deal with that stronghold. See how this works? You have been put in touch with a message that will enable you to deal with those strongholds that the enemy would use to take you out. So maybe you're like me. Maybe you came to this message all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, thinking I'm going to see miracles, I'm going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to jump up off the bed, and that's the reason why I'm going to do this. Maybe you're like me. And that's the reason you came here. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Because what will happen eventually, and I can say this from my own experience, what will happen eventually is you'll deal with those strongholds that need to be fed, that self-exaltation stronghold. You'll deal with it. And you'll put it to death finally in your life. And you'll do it by continuing to do what we preach here. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Meditate the word. Assimilate the word. Fasting. Confess the word. Doing these things will address those strongholds. Here's what I feel like is, and I not feel is not the right word. Here's what I believe is happening. I believe people are coming face to face with the motives. And they're realizing that their motives aren't really pure. And as a result of that, they're saying, well, why do this? And they're walking away from it. And here's what they're doing. They're walking away from the very thing that will free them from the stronghold. So they're here, they are in the stronghold, let's say, of self-exaltation, like I was in. Here they are in the stronghold, and the enemy says, look at you! You full of self-exaltation, and you feel all yucky about it. Say, well, I'm just no good. And so you leave. No, that's not the right answer. Because you're walking away from the very thing that will set you free from that stronghold. See how that works? So maybe you came here like I did. Maybe you started and your motives weren't altogether pure. Let me see a show of hands of someone whose motives at the beginning were 100% pure. We'll cast that devil out of you. We all came here with wrong motives. We didn't realize it. We did. We wanted something. We all came here with a reason, with a motive. But when you stay here, when you do this, it will purify your motives. You can come here with all kind of wrong motives, but if you stay here, if you weather through the storms, eventually you're going to find one by one those motives are going to be purified. You're going to put to death those wrong motives, the self-exaltation, whatever there are, and there's a multitude of them. I've walked through those things, not all of them, I'm sure. I'm sure there's still things inside of me that I need to walk through. But like last week, when the devil came with that magnifying glass, you notice I didn't run away. Running away is running away from the answer. Running away is running away from the very thing that the God has provided us with to help set us free. Everything that we teach here. So I've been meditating through John. I love the book of John. I tell you what, the book of John, I always love Paul because Paul, I have an understanding of the born again experience. But when it comes to John, John's like the one that can wrap his arms around you and just hug you with all that love. So I've been reading through John, and I just start out in chapter 1. I was reading through chapter 2, 3, 4. And you know, I got to chapter 3. And here we are with the most well-known verse of all time. The 16th verse. And I come face to face with the purest motive of all. The purest motive. For God so loved the world. When you get all down to it, and this isn't some frilly message. When you get right down to the basics of what must be your motive for why you do what you do here. It cannot come down to anything else but love. It has to be love. It has to be. There's no other motivating force really at the heart of everything that we teach you here other than love. Anything else, if you think it's about the miracles, if you think it's about blind eyes opening, see, those are all just going to be fruit from this. You cultivating love on the inside of you. And this is where I feel like and I believe that the people that are being taken out, this is what they're missing. If you are not cultivating love on the inside of you, when you reach that place where he comes, and I'm telling you folks, he comes, the devil comes, and he brings a magnifying glass like you would not believe. He had me confessing for things that weren't even sin. Think about that. How does he do that? Putting me under all kind of condemnation, thinking I did things wrong that weren't wrong at all. That's the way he is. He's a master at this stuff. Don't you think if he could have, he would have loved to just put me in a situation where I would just take myself out? Sure he would. How would he do it? That magnifying glass shining, showing the wrong motives inside of me. So I want to tell you this. If you'll grab a hold of this tonight, if you'll see that if you will cultivate love, and love is the motivating force, what motivates you to get into that prayer closet. The love that you cultivate for one another, for somebody else, that is going to be the thing that is going to motivate you. I don't want to use the word push because it's not push, but you know, we pray for hunger. But really, if I cultivate that love, I truly believe the hunger's there. If I cultivate that love, the love that wants to reach out, the love that sent Jesus to the cross, for God so loved the world that he had to do something. That's the kind of love we're talking about. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to go from verse 1 to verse 6. And we'll stop there. And then we'll go on later. Then he called his 12 disciples together. And he gave them power and authority over half of the devils. No, doesn't say that. He gave them power and authority over all devils. If you circle anything in your Bible, I would circle the word all. All devils. All of them. Not half of them. Not some of them. All of them. No matter what you face, if he gave it to these guys, don't you know that you have it? You have it. That there's nothing, there's no devil in hell that even comes close to you. Now, he may try to convince you that that's not the case. He may try to scare you. He may try to do a lot of things. But the truth of the matter is, they don't hold a candle to you. You are a child of God. You walk in the authority that God has extended to you. You use the name of Jesus, and the demons, they will bow their knees to what you say. I'm going to read it again. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. I want you to skip over to verse 10. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to that city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. I'm going to just flip over here. I want to read this one verse because I like reading this. And it's in Luke 22, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip, he's speaking of this time that I just read, when I sent you out, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. He sent them out. He empowered them. He sent them. They healed the sick. They saw miracles. And they lacked nothing. Now let's go on in this chapter. Go down to verse 18. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answered, said John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Peter answered, said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day." Verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I'm going to read that verse right there out of the Amplified. It says, "And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself," that is, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interest, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. That is, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. The reason I read that, the reason why that verse, I knew the Holy Ghost had pointed that verse out to me. To get to that place where we are willing to lay down our life on a daily basis, again, it has to be for something more than just seeing the miracles. There has to be something working on the inside of us. And it's that love. It's the love that we're cultivating through the, if nothing else, the private worship. Private worship will cultivate this love on the inside of you. It will cause you to want. See, here's that motivating force. To want to spend that time. Where? In the prayer closet, changing. So that you can be a tool in the Master's hand to reach someone that's lost, to minister to somebody, for His power to flow through. But it's that love that motivates you to do it. How many times have you found yourself asking yourself, "Why am I doing this?" Has anybody ever asked yourself, why am I spending this time in prayer? I could be doing something else. I know you have. You haven't prayed 20 minutes in tongues that you haven't asked that question, or that question hasn't come to you. There has to be a true, pure motivation at the heart of this. Has to be. It just has to be a pure motivation to keep you going. And what I'm sharing with you is going to keep you from eventually being taken out. One of the things that will help you from being taken out is for you to cultivate a love inside of you, His love in you. Remember, Pastor Dave talks about that when you receive you're born again, you have your new nature. And he said he saw that DNA, in the DNA of your new nature, that strand of DNA, that there was the love of God there. See, it came inside of you when you were born again. It came there. But it could stay in that state for until you get to heaven. Never develop. Never growing, maturing, changing at all. And He'll love you just exactly the same way that He always has loved you. Because that's not the question. His love for you is not the question. The question is your love for Him. All right, let's go to John chapter 15. I want to show you how this works. John chapter 15. We're going to start reading in verse 8. He herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, now look at this. As hard as this has to be to believe, it's still written right here, and it's the truth. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How do you think his joy is ever going to be full in you? I want you to think about that for a minute. How do you think that his joy is going to be full? Think about this. As you develop this love, as he's flowing through you, and you're blessed, being a blessing to other people, do you suppose that that's going to have any effect on that joy? See, I have the greatest joy not when somebody comes and does something for me, but whenever I'm able to do something for someone else. Whenever the love that's in me is able to be expressed through my actions towards someone else. That joy. You know that joy that you get? Don't you love when it's Christmas time and you get to see the little kids, the little ones open up their presents and they're so excited and you can just watch it. Isn't that, there's just such joy there. See, it's not about what God is going to do for me. It's about what I have been able to accomplish in that change so that he can flow through me. That's what it's about. So that he can flow through me. That's where this love is. It's that expression to somebody else. It's the reason why I spend the time sitting in my chair at home praying in tongues and meditating the word. It's so that there is a change inside of me, so that my Father has something that he can work with to flow through to be a blessing to somebody else. The truest expression of love is for me to keep my behind in the chair praying. Did you get that? That's the truest expression of love, is me sitting there enduring the changing process so that there's something there for him to use. I love you because I sit at home and do that. Do you see that? Because you got to grab hold of that. That's going to keep you sitting in the chair. That's going to keep you praying. That's going to keep you wanting to change. So there is a something there for God to use to bless others through you. So he can love others through you. I would suggest that if you struggle, don't even get to that place. I would suggest that you cultivate the love now. Just cultivate it along with praying in tongues. Do the private worship. And you know, this is one of the questions people have. Well, how much time do I spend doing one? How much time do I spend doing the other? Just ask him. Ask him. He'll tell you. He is so good about directing me on when to pray in tongues, when it's time to worship. I let him orchestrate all of it. Him, the Holy Ghost. He's my tutor. He's my coach. He's everything. He'll show you what you, maybe your love level needs a little bit of help. Okay, spend some more time cultivating the love. Spend some more time in worship. Get that love up there. Make sure that you have something in the well. So whenever the accuser of the brethren comes and tries to get you to exit this message, that there's something there that keeps you here. Now, I'm not going to get taken out. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to get taken out. I'm doing the things. I'm cultivating the love. The love is the reason. It's the motivation for why I do everything. See, if it's not there, if you don't have any kind of a private worship life at all, if there's nothing in that love reservoir, if there's nothing there that's been matured in love, eventually he's going to come and knock on your door, and he's going to give you a reason that you're going to be able to not pass up, and it's going to be a takeout for you. There's got to be a true, pure motive of love at the heart of everything that you do in this message, in your life, developing in this walk. Let's go back to John 15. We left off at verse 12. This is my commandment. Let me read this again. This is my strong suggestion. I think that's how people read it. You know what? I think that's how we read it. This is my strong suggestion, that you love one another as I have loved you. I would really like for you to love one another this way. It would be good for you to love one another the way I love you. No, it doesn't say that. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we've already seen how he does that in John 3:16. His love goes to that extreme. And we've already looked at Luke 9. We've already seen what he expects of us. He wants us to lay down our life every day. To take up our cross every day. Every day. So how do we do that? Because it's hard sometimes. I look at some people and I don't like them. I mean, let's get honest here. I look at some people and I try, and if that's my motivation, I'm in trouble. See, you can't look outside for the motivation. The motivation comes on the inside. The motivation is what you cultivate. It's what you cultivate through your private worship. I love you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. See, if you do that, and you do that for a lifestyle, and not just something that you do here at the church, you know, before we stand up and preach, and you raise your hands a little bit, when it becomes more than that, and you practice a lifestyle of worship, there's a love in the tank that's growing. And it's that love that will keep you in your prayer closet. It's that love that's going to help you to push away from food. That's fasting. Just thought I had to define that. Make sure there wasn't any confusion. It's that love that motivates us. It's a pure motive. See how pure that is? See, all these years, Pastor Dave is finally coming to this place of understanding the basis for everything is love. The basis, the reason, the motive for everything we do here, it's got to be love. So the question then is, where do I get it? Can God just give it to me? Well, He did when you got born again. So now the question is, what are you doing to develop it? Because if you do nothing to develop it, and all you do is pray in tongues, and as great as praying in tongues is, and it is wonderful, I assure you, it has brought me from an ugly mark to someone that you can stand at least. Thank you, Jesus. So there is, I mean, it is wonderful. But if you want to cultivate the love, and if the love is in fact the motivating force that's going to keep you in the process of changing, then I got news for you. You get it one way, and it's by worshiping Jesus and telling Him how much you love Him and worshiping Him whenever the words fall out on the ground and it feels like nothing's happening. And you still tell Him, I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. And you don't feel anything. I worship you. You know, I know people that, you know, they add music to that whenever they're doing it. I personally don't. I'm kind of like one of those hardcore. If I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it the hard way. Don't give me music. Don't give me anything to help my flesh out. It doesn't need any help. It's already got enough help. So I'll just sit there and just worship the Lord. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Do I fall asleep? Of course I do. Do you wake up again? Yes. And then you start it again. I mean, let's just be honest. This stuff is, at times, it can be boring. And your flesh wants something exciting. The excitement comes when we're pulling them out of the wheelchairs. Isn't that right? The excitement comes when the blind eyes are open. Don't leave now. Are you kidding me? God brought you here for a reason. Don't leave now. If you leave now, and I know you're not, but if you did, and you decided, I've changed all I'm going to change, and you go off with some crazy, I don't know, maybe a grace message about how you can live how you want to, if you ever revive from that, and you come back, you're still going to have to face the same ugly self. So go ahead and face yourself now. Running away from it just prolongs the inevitable. Either you're never going to deal with it, or eventually you're going to. So do it now. I can stand here. I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, I can say some of these things because I've been through some battles. And I've watched Gary and Dave. You know, when you, and I hate to say this because he's here, I'll blow his little head up. But you know, when I see Gary and Dave, and I recognize that these are two men that have gone through some things. You know, if you walked into an office, a military office, and you sat down across from people that I would believe would be in their category. I mean, you're looking at people that have a lot of medals on their chest from all the battles that they have walked through. And I respect that. And I know what's possible. And see, I'm not in that category yet. I'm getting there. But I've gone through some things too. And I can tell you that being free is so sweet when you know that one day something had a hold of you and the next day it's gone. There are businesses that are centered around trying to get people free. They don't get them free. They're just taking people's money. This is true freedom. But I want you to think about what we're talking about. You can run away. People run away all the time from the truth. It doesn't change the truth. The truth's still the truth. And if someday they recover themselves from their little vacation of the flesh, when they finally come back, they're going to be facing exactly the same ugly self they ran away from. Why run away? Just stay here and deal with it. It doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any harder. It is what it is. It's as simple as that. It is what it is. So the real question then is, how much do you love Jesus? Because you don't love Jesus any more than you love your brother. And if you're not willing to change for your brother, I'm sorry, but that's a big statement about how you feel about him. And it's not me saying it. I'm just reading what John wrote. Let's go on here. Let's go on. Let's make it worse. It'll get worse before it gets better. This is my commandment. Now, we already realize that's not a strong suggestion. It's my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. There's only one way that he's loved us, and that is in the fact that he's laid down his life for us. And if he's saying that's the degree that you are supposed to love one another, I'm telling you something. The only way that you can love one another to that degree is because you have cultivated the love to do it. If it's not cultivated, then the well is empty. Then when it comes down to you trying to have something to motivate you to stay in there to change, there's not going to be anything there. Wanting to love your brother the way he loved you is not it. It won't do it. Just wanting. I want to do it. No. He said, do it. Wanting to do it is one thing. But really doing it, that's the difference between an offering and a sacrifice. You think about breakfast time. And a chicken will provide an offering for the breakfast, but the pig, he becomes the living sacrifice for it. See, there's teeth in this. Wanting, having this fantasy, I'll get clear for you because some of you are a little, what's he saying right now? Just having a fantasy about loving your brother, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not saying you should just want to do it. That's enough. No, he's saying love them to the extent that I loved you. It's more than just mentally ascending to it. It's not just thinking about loving them. It's doing it. It's an action. He's saying put this thing to action. You love them. You lay down your life, as he said in Luke chapter 9. Pick up that cross every day. Put a little bit more of self to death so that I can love them through you. I can bless them through you. Greater love, verse 13, has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That word friends, the word friend, when you see that in the New Testament, don't think of it like you're thinking about just your pal. Because that's not it. We're not talking about your pal. We're not talking about your buddy. We're talking, this is a term that's used specifically in covenant. When it's talking about your friend, he's talking about someone that you have a covenant relationship with, someone that you love beyond just words. This isn't the guy that lives down the street from you that you play ball with. This is someone that you have put yourself in a covenant relationship with. See, when you joined Jesus and you became a child of God, what you're saying is, not only am I going to love you, but I'm going to love all of those others that's made the same decision that I have made. They are my friends. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for a servant knows not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John. Before I read that, let me just say this. You know, Gary's been preaching a lot about the ultimate grace and the acknowledging that there are people that are getting taken out by that message. And I want you to think about it. Why? Why should that message take anyone out? Somewhere along the process of change, person can stop. Person can refuse to deal with some things. Those strongholds will be there until they deal with them. So a message like an ultimate grace message comes around, and all of a sudden, they realize, I don't have to deal with that at all. I'm free. And the very stronghold that they could eliminate, that they could put to death forever, becomes the very reason that they walk away. The very reason they walk away. And don't you know, I mean, the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't play at all. Don't you know that somewhere down the line that he's going to come knocking on their door about that stronghold? He will. It's just a matter of time. You're always vulnerable when you don't deal with those things. It's there. It's like a flashing neon light to the devil. He knows you. He knows what works. And when he knows that you're free, he knows that too. There are things that I remember. You know, when I first got saved, I remember those strongholds that were there. I remember how he could just come along and just a few thoughts planted at the right time in the right place, just pull those things. Just grab hold of that handle and pull on it. And I felt like I was at his mercy. It's not that way now. There's no handle there for him to pull. Now, I'm not saying that there's zero handles there. Come on. But what I'm saying is the ones he pulled back then, those are gone. There's nothing for him to pull on. Isn't that good? That's wonderful. You can be free. That's great. You know, I see people that, you know, they run around from one ministry to the next ministry. They want someone with a little bit stronger anointing to pray for them, to get them set free. Hey, do self-deliverance. Just sit down and pray. It might take a little while, but just do it. If we would do that, if we really would just do that, just sit down, just pray. Pray your way out of that mess that you found yourself in. You would be less likely to go back into it again after you left the prayer line. How many times do you think that happens? Somebody runs, they travel for 8 hours to get into a service. Some, you know, anointed minister prays for him. They get set free. They get back in their car. They drive 8 hours. And they're back in the same mess they were in 8 hours before, because they let it back in again. See, if they just sit down and pray and change, they pray themselves right out of it, and there's nothing there for the devil to grab hold of. You see how that works? But see, as long as there's something there, you're going to walk in the grace of that man's, that minister's prayer only for so long. But if you're the one praying your way out of it, you're praying yourself free from the handles. So when you get on the other side of it, there's nothing for the devil to grab hold of. It's like Gary's pole at the fair with lard on it. He's trying to find something to hold on to, but there's nothing. That's where I want to be. All right, 1 John. I love 1 John. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Now that of God, when I read that, this is what it says to me. This kind of love that's of God, it's like saying, I am of my earthly dad. I am of him. This love that's of God originates in only one place, him. So when I'm born again and that little strand of DNA in my reborn human spirit, that love right there, it only comes from one place. We're not talking about emotional love here. We're not talking about philia or whatever the Greek word is. We're not talking about that. We're talking about agape. We're talking about the strongest form of love here. This is the love that causes you to want to lay down your life for your friend. And he's saying, this is the kind of love that you're supposed to have for one another. The kind of love that will bring you to the prayer center, sit you in a chair, and get you praying till the change happens. And the change continues to happen. And don't think that I'm talking about you got to be perfect before he'll use you, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. Most of you sitting here that I'm looking at, you've got more than enough change for His love to flow through and bless others. You should be blessing people right now. And I'm not saying that to put you under condemnation either. But what I am saying is, you should look for these opportunities, because He'll present them to you. Well, I've never had an opportunity to minister to anybody. Well, pray and ask Him. And then be expecting Him to make those opportunities happen. Because He's looking for people to use. He's got a shortage of those. He's got more people that are believing the wrong stuff that He really can't use. But here you've got the truth. You're like sitting here with this big bazooka in your hands, just waiting for somebody. Just move a little bit. Just look like you got a little limp. I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Look for the opportunities. Because I'm telling you, the people I'm looking at right here, you're more than ready. You're more than ready to minister on a one-on-one level with somebody. To share the love of Jesus with somebody. You're more than ready for that. And really, we ought to be. We ought to be doing that. All right, let me finish up here. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God. For God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Go to verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. You know, it took me a while to get that last part. I don't know why. I mean, years ago I'd look at it and I'd say, all right, let me think about this. Everyone that loves him that begot, okay, God begot us, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And for the longest time, because I had my mind on myself, I couldn't see what that was saying. It's saying that we need to love the rest of the party, the rest of the family that's begotten of him. That we're supposed to love each other. And the bottom line, really, that I can see, the greatest expression for you and for me is to pray. Stay in that process of change so that there's something for him to work with. And don't think that you have to wait until someday in the future for him to use you, because he can use you now. But realize that the more you change, the more you deal with those strongholds, the more he can use you. And he will promote the change that takes place on the inside of you. He'll promote that. He'll promote that. And next thing you know, you're going to be living in what I would say is your dream. You'll be living the dream of what you have always wanted, because that's got to be the heart's desire. I'm doing what I love to do. And I know that I prayed myself to the place where there was something that he could promote to put me here. And it's the same for you. I don't know what that place is going to be, but you can be assured of one thing. Whatever it is, you are going to love it like nothing else that you have ever done. It'll be the most fulfilling thing in your whole life. Amen? Amen.